Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the Power to Believe Book Club. You know, we appreciate you guys tuning in. I know some of you guys getting off work. Some of you guys didn't go to work, but it's all right. You know, we'll be reviewing a book today that can actually, you know, change your life for the better. That's what our movement is about. You know, how to change my life movement. So we appreciate you guys going to the fan page, liking it. We appreciate you guys supporting the guest that's on the line. And her name is Chantella Richardson. And she is the owner of Chantella Speaks. And she's also a technology person, entrepreneur, who's really extensive with that. And she owns a lot of Liberty Tax Services franchise. So some of you guys probably, you know, got your taxes done at some of the Liberty tax franchises. But, you know, she also works with entrepreneurs, and she speaks to a lot of youth and a lot of young adults as well. And so she'll be reviewing a call for us today. And we'll just be going back and forth, really emphasizing the deepest points of the book, Who Moved My Cheese, by Dr. Spencer Johnson, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so we appreciate you guys listening in. We appreciate your time. And we'll get into it and, you know, show you guys how this book can actually change your life for the better. So I'll go ahead and let Chantella take over the call.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you so much, Al, for allowing me to use this platform this evening to share with you one of my favorite books. It's Who Moved My Cheese, as you indicated. And I chose this book because, one, it's a simple read, but it's so impactful. The first time I read it was about 15 years ago. I worked for a company here in the Chicagoland area in a suburb called Skokie, Illinois, for those who are on the line who are familiar with the Chicagoland area. And at that time, I was doing okay. I was still single, meaning unmarried. I had no children at that time. And I was young and ready to change the world. And I worked for a wonderful company, but I felt stuck.
Yeah.
Meaning I just didn't, no matter how hard I seemed to have worked, I didn't understand why I wasn't getting what I wanted out of life. And within time, I realized even that job itself wasn't all that I thought it was. And then I came upon Who Moved My Cheese, and that book made me take some action. And that's why I chose that book.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But as far as the book, what do you think are some of the main points before we get into some of the details? What are some of the main points that people that's listening to the call right now, what do you think are some main points that the book showed us that we could change our life with, like some of the main pressing issues?
Absolutely. So for me, some of the points that I walked away with this book was, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are in your life. You can be an individual who works for a company. You can be an entrepreneur. You can be a student. My 9-year-old listens to this on audio. Like, this book is so amazing that a 9-year-old can get it, and she walks away and has her own points. And it doesn't matter what your cheese is, because everyone is not aspiring to do the same things in life. We all don't want the same cheese. And that cheese can equate to a home, a boat, a car, health, well-being, long hair. It can be any of those things. Cheese can be tantamount to money. It can be to lose weight. For some people, to gain an extra couple of pounds, to get curves in certain places. In the end, cheese means happiness. So whatever it is that makes you happy, or that you feel at least will make you happy,
yes,
that's
indeed
what this book is about. And those are the things that you walk away with, understanding that cheese one will vary per person, but it's not just about the cheese. What's great about this book, it's our really our perspective of how long that cheese will be there. Yeah. That's what's interesting about this book.
Well, can you go a little bit more into the beginning of the book and the story and the characters and everything?
Absolutely. So for those on the line who haven't read this book, so you have four characters, and the four characters are Sniff and Scurry and Him and Haw. So Sniff and Scurry are what the author describes as mice. So they are tiny mice, and primarily how their characters are developed, they are simple rodents. They think like rodents. They move like rodents. And unless you're really paying attention, you wouldn't even notice them. And the same primarily with the other two characters, which is him, which are Him and Haw. Him and Haw, which are the main characters primarily in this book, are what they call small people. They look like you and myself in regards to human beings. And more interestingly, they act like us. So, but they're small. So in this book, these four characters live within a maze-like society, what we might consider as Earth. And so they live in this society, and they're working hard day to day, running off to go look for cheese. And so the beginning of the book starts off where they're looking for cheese, and they come upon a station called Cheese Station C. And in this station, there's a mound of cheese. Now, that mound of cheese, again, to each one of those four characters, for the most part, could be something very different. And so that's how that book, this story begins.
Wow. Yes, indeed. I remember reading the book as well, and they talked about the characters, and they were talking about how they had some cheese in the, like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, but they had cheese that was inside of, I guess, wherever they were living at, and then all of a sudden the cheese disappeared.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely.
And the cheese disappeared, and then, you know, the two mice, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but the two mice, they basically went after, you know, to see, like, what happened to the cheese. You know, they went looking for it. And then the two small people, they just stayed back, you know, trying to wait on the cheese, you know, trying to see, asking questions like, well, it's just going to show up. You know, it'll pop
yeah.
back up and all that kind of stuff. So can you get a little more detail on how that came about?
So let's talk about the two mice. Their names are Sniff and Scurry. And so Sniff sniffs out change early. Now, what's great about these four characters, we might see a little or a lot of ourselves and one or more of these characters. So you have Sniff, like I said, which sniffs out change early. And then you have Scurry, who scurries into action very quickly. Then you have Him, which is H-E-M. He pretty much denies and resists change, and he fears something worse will happen if he makes change. And then you have Haw, who primarily learns to adapt in time when he sees that change leads to something better, but he has to see it first. And so those four characters, as I indicated earlier, pretty much take up this entire story. And as you stated, what I love about these four, Sniff and Scurry are always ready, meaning when they found Cheese Station C, they got up early every morning. Even though they knew where that cheese was exactly, they took the exact same route every day to get there. And once they arrived to that station, they would take off their little tennis shoes, because the story states that they would get up every morning early, put on their jogging suits, and put on their running shoes. So when they got to the cheese station, they would take those running shoes off and tie them around their neck. So that if they needed to make a move in a hurry, they didn't have to look for them. They were right there. And the story goes on to say that him and her, initially they got up real early as well. They would arrive at Cheese Station C the same way Sniff and Scurry did initially, but over time they became comfortable. They knew where the cheese was, and there was so much cheese there that they even moved their homes closer to this Cheese Station C. They started to show their friends, and they became boastful. They would share some cheese every now and then, and there were other times where they would not, according to the book. And so within time, what would happen was the him and her characters would start to arrive at Cheese Station C a little bit later. Mm-hmm. They would get there later, and then they would not, as a matter of fact, they would take their shoes off and put on slippers. They would put their tennis shoes, their running shoes, totally away and take their jogging suits off and put on slippers and rest. So they built their whole life around this Cheese Station C. And that reminded me so much of so many of us. And it's not that that's a wrong thing, so I want to make that very clear. But I just want people to think about how we look at things we don't control as if we do. They didn't control the Cheese Station C. They didn't know how that cheese arrived there. They just know one day they found it and it was there. And they claimed it as theirs. And they were happy with it. They claimed it as theirs. They showed it off, everything, as if they put it there, like they had some control over it. Right? I mean, that's how they treated that cheese. And we do that as humans sometimes, some of us, not all of us, around our work, our home, our family, all sorts of things that we feel like we have 100% control over that in reality we don't. But go ahead.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's real, you know. Some things that I got from it was, like I said, when the cheese, like you said, they just came upon the cheese. They didn't really work for it. And the two stayed back. They wasn't taking responsibility for the cheese being gone. You know, they was blaming everybody else for them not having the cheese in their life. And remember, to the listeners, remember the cheese is anything that you value of importance. It could be money. It could be your relationship. It could be whatever that you think is going to make you happy. And they basically, the people that stayed back, they were staying in their comfort zone, you know, because the two that left, it was four characters. The two that left, they went after, they was like, hey, my cheese not here? Shoot, let me go find it. You know, let me go get up and go find it, see where it's at. So they got out of their comfort zone, and at the end of the story, they end up finding the cheese and living fat, you know, off of the cheese, while the two people that stayed behind, you know, waiting on something to happen versus going to make it happen, you know, they end up losing. So what I got from it, from that scene, was to get out of your comfort zone and release your fear of failure, you know. And those two guys that stayed behind, like waiting for something to happen versus trying to make something happen, going to find the cheese, they were driving themselves crazy by staying in the same place, you know, like the definition of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. And now, one thing that was interesting was it was the two mice that went before, right?
Absolutely. Sniff and Scurry, they just went. Now, what was interesting about them, they already knew their routine. Like, they didn't have to think about it. They knew to sniff, and Scurry would scurry along ahead, and they didn't have it perfect. The corridors, this maze was just that. It was a maze. So there were dead ends. There were blind spots. There were corridors that led absolutely nowhere. But in the end, they were like, they would remember those areas that they would find no cheese, and they would not go down those corridors anymore. They would try something different. They never tried the same path twice if it did not create a result that they wanted. And so they would just take off. There was no meetings. There were no conference calls. There was no Skype. So in the story, it was none of that. They just did what they had to do and kept pushing. But him and Ha, once they realized, as you stated, that the cheese was gone, it was everybody's fault but theirs. They never paid attention to what was going on around them. There were always signs. There were always signs. However, they would not take the responsibility to look. So when Smith and Scurry arrived that day and noticed there were no there was no cheese, they were not surprised. That's the reason why they were always prepared. They had those shoes around their necks for a reason. Tim and Hall weren't prepared at all, and they stayed. They, as a matter of fact, the book states that they kept going back to Cheese Station C day after day, expecting that it would just arrive. Then they felt as if it was an April Fool's joke and start digging through the walls just to find empty space, because in their minds, they would not accept the change. And so many of us are like that. We will go the exact same steps over and over again, expecting something different. Go ahead.
Yes, indeed. Another powerful thing I got from the book that I always will remember is that they were telling the story about how the two mice, you know, when they saw that the cheese wasn't there, they actually went after the cheese, and the cheese was inside of a maze. And so, you know, when you get into a maze, you really don't know how to get to the end result. You don't know how to get to the goal. So a lot of times we won't even take action because we're like, okay, it's a maze. I don't know where I'm going. But what Dr. Spencer talked about in the story was that these mice actually use the power of visualization to attain the goal. Like he always talked about how the mice, when they would get lost, would get lost in the maze, they would visualize the cheese, like smelling the cheese, you know, eating the cheese.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So
yes.
That was a key to us, that when we're achieve a goal, and what I got from it is when I'm trying to achieve a goal and I'm lost, or you're trying to achieve a goal, listener, and you're lost, you need to, you know, get back to visualization and really put all the sensory vibes into it. Like, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you taste? What do you touch? And then he was saying in the book how that'll get us back on track. We'll get an idea or attract somebody into our life or whatever to help us attain that goal. So that's what I really got from that, because they were in a maze. And, you know, he kept getting lost trying to find the cheese, but he would constantly keep thinking about smelling that cheese, eating that cheese, and that would help his decision-making process to help him say, hey, turn left, turn right, and then, you know, to help him eventually find the cheese.
Absolutely. And I think for us as humans, that ties back to writing goals, setting goals, creating vision boards. Those are things that we take so for granted, when in reality, that is what Sniff and Scurry was doing when they could not find that cheese, when they were running into dead ends and dark alleys and things of that nature down this maze. They would use the power of belief, and they knew eventually they would find that cheese. They just didn't know where it was, but they knew it existed somewhere else within that maze. And if we had that same faith, our lives would be so different, and we wouldn't hem and haw. And so let's get back to hem and haw, because while Sniff and Scurry were on their way, because they were long gone, within the story, they eventually ran into another cheese station. They called it Cheese Station Inn. And they found this huger-than-life mound of cheese. And they were nibbling, and they, again, still kept their same routine. Regardless of what was going on around them, they would come early, get up early every morning, put on their jogging suits and their running shoes. They would go to Cheese Station Inn. They would survey how much cheese is in there, and then they would eat. They wouldn't just go in there and eat. They would make sure they understood what everything around them looked like first. They weren't greedy. They understood that too could eventually no longer exist, and that's how they treated that cheese. Now, him and Hall, in the meantime, they're still in Cheese Station C trying to figure it out. Now, this was my favorite part of this entire book, because this part to me was about relationships, right? Because you had two characters who had been hanging around each other throughout this maze for a long time. They found cheese station after cheese station together. But eventually, him decided that he didn't want to look anymore, that he felt that eventually the cheese would just reappear. He was tired. He didn't want to do any more work, right?
Mm-hmm.
He felt that he had worked hard enough for the cheese that was in Cheese Station C that miraculously disappeared. When he hadn't realized, regardless of where it went, if they ate it, somebody came and took it, he never, like, really worked for it. He didn't get that, and that was really interesting. And Hall tried to hang in there with him. Hall really tried to hang in there with mm-hmm. him as his friend. But what Hall realized is that he was going to starve to death, that he was unhappy, and that if he didn't make some type of change, that they both would not exist. And so Hall had to take it upon himself and go into that dark, confusing maze by himself. In order to survive. And that reminds me so much of so many of us, where we don't feel like we can take the next step without someone else. We always want a partner. And sometimes you're not going to find that partner. Sometimes you're going to have to take alone. And so Hall would get lost. He would leave little, as it said, little trails, try so he could find himself back to him, or that him could eventually catch up to Hall if he ever changed his mind. And in the story, Hall, being the kind nature that he was, he would find little bits of cheese here and there. And because he wasn't so far away from him, he would go back and share, right? Mm-hmm. And regardless of how much he tried to talk him into coming along with him, he wouldn't move. He would not move. And so Hall had to take it on his own. Go ahead, Al.
Wow. Yeah, and that's real, you know, and I think that life, the universe, God, whatever people want to call it, for, you know, different religions that listen to the show, I feel like in the movie, in the book, that the author was really trying to explain that, you see, when the guy went into the maze, who had left his friend behind, looking, he was lost a lot of times, but then he started to find, like, little bits and pieces of cheese, like Chantella was saying, and I feel like that was God really trying to show him, like, look, you're on the right path. Like, you don't know where you're going, but I'm showing you, like, some things to help you, give you some confidence. And I feel like that's the same thing how it is in my life right now. And, you know, like, I'm in a maze right now in different areas of life. You know, I'm in a maze right now, and I decided to go into the maze. And talking about the maze, the author had, he captured the guy's thoughts, who actually had decided to leave his friend and go into the maze to try to find the cheese. He was capturing his thoughts a lot. And one of the thoughts that the guy had while he was in the dark, didn't know where he was going, but just had faith, you know, he started to feel really happy. He's like, hold on, what's going on here? Like, why do I feel so good? Why do I feel so good? I don't have any cheese, and I don't know where I'm going, but I feel good. And the author was explaining that when you move beyond fear, you feel free. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and I really related to that, because I'm actually to go into the maze in different areas of life right now for me personally. And I asked myself the same question. I'm like, I don't even have it yet, you know, what I'm looking to get. I don't have it physically yet, but why am I so happy? And I related to that, that I feel free from fear, that I actually taking action and not letting that, you know, stop me. So, you know, the listener definitely just move beyond where you're at and enter that maze.
I agree 100%. And going to, like, some of those other things that the author was sharing with us through Haw, who was traveling down those paths and corridors alone, he was saying, and he would imagine himself enjoying new cheese even before he could find it. And he knew that by doing that, it would lead him to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he also would say little things like, he said, the quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you find new cheese. I thought that was awesome, because so many of us hold on to dead jobs, dead businesses, dead relationships, and we don't understand that if our hands are full holding something that we really don't want, we surely cannot fill our hands with something we need or desire. So you have to let go of this old cheese in order to get new cheese. So it was little sayings like that throughout this book. Very short book, but it's so impactful. So if you are on this line and you haven't picked up Who Moved My Cheese, pick it up. It's a great read. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Amazon, it was the bestseller on Amazon back in 2005. It was the Amazon number one bestseller out of, you know, a lot of books, hundreds of thousands of books. So another quote that the author shared in the book that I'm actually going to ruminate on is, he said that he was talking about the concept of the guy going through the maze looking for the cheese, being in fear. And he was saying that, check this out. He said that what you are afraid of is never as bad as what you imagine. The fear you let build up in your mind is actually worse than the situation that exists.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to repeat that. So he says, what you are afraid of right now is never as bad as what you imagine. The fear you let build up in your mind is actually worse than the situation that exists. And I thought about that. I was like, wow, you know, because you have a fear in, you know, dealing with money that you're trying to get. You got a fear dealing with a relationship you're trying to build, or with a situation in your health or whatever. Like, you have fear, but what he's trying to say in that message is that whatever you're imagining, you know, you not taking action is actually worse than the fear that you're letting see, you know, keep you in jail. And I just thought that that was really a good concept to really just meditate on. But like you said, he said old beliefs do not lead you to new cheese.
No.
And he was talking about when you change what you believe, you can change what you do.
Yes.
And what he was talking about as well is that the cheese, when the cheese is moved, meaning, you know, you got cheese, you got that dream job right now, then all of a sudden, bam, pink slip tomorrow or pink slip this morning. Some people listening, you know, it's like, damn, what do I do now? You know, or you get your car repo, your dream car, or you don't have money to, you know, live in that house anymore. It's like when your cheese is moved, it's like, what do you do now? He was saying that to get the cheese, you got to go off into the unknown.
Absolutely. And I think that was a great segue to some of the things that he called the handwriting on the wall. And these are seven things I think the listeners should walk away with. Number one, change happens. They keep moving the cheese. Number two, anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move. Number three, change. Smell the cheese often, so you know when it is getting old.
Mm.
Number four, adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy new cheese. Change, move with the cheese. Number six, enjoy change. And number seven, be ready to change quickly and enjoy it again and again. They keep moving the cheese.
Yes, indeed. Just some closing thoughts as well. Another thing that the – hello? Oh. Another thing that the author really shared was that we need to start laughing at our mistakes. You know,
yes,
we need to make light of our mistakes. And that'll really help us to not be as attached, emotionally attached to these things we did to make us feel like a bad person. So we'll just laugh at our follies. And another thing that he was talking about is that past our fears is our greatest adventure. So, like, a lot of us want to live exciting lives. Like, you want to live an exciting life. You know, you want people to look at you in a certain way on your job and your family and your marriage and your relationship or whatever. But it'll never happen because you let the fear trap you. And he was saying that our greatest adventure, our greatest life, our greatest existence is past the fears. You know,
it's
so
beyond that fear. Absolutely.
Yeah. And he was just saying, stay uncomfortable. And so.
There is no growth in comfort.
Amen. but yeah, you know, who moved my cheese? I appreciate you guys listening in. This is Al, the Power to Believe Book Club. You guys need to check out the website, howtochangemylife.org. I appreciate you guys subscribing to the email list. We thank, we appreciate you guys being on the call, taking your time out. You could be any place in the world, but you're here with me and Chantel, and I appreciate that. And I hope you guys got some value out of this this audio book review. And it'll be on a replay for people that missed it. So I appreciate you guys listening in. This is Al, Chantella. Appreciate you guys listening in. And you guys enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
Have a great evening, everyone.
All right. See you.